Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's August 18th, 2025. Welcome to The Quadcast. I'm your host, Sam Markram. Let's dive in. First up, the caucus race. Thought-provoking prior investigations have successfully slashed rates of radiation dermatitis with intranasal mupirocin. That's because decreasing Staphylococcus aureus colonization appears to decrease susceptibility and progression of skin and mucosa inflammatory reactions to radiation. Thought to be mediated by microbiota-released toxins, an obvious next application is radiation mucositis. A Chinese phase 3 trial prospectively randomized 176 patients undergoing definitive chemoradiation for nasopharyngeal cancer to plus or minus the addition of mupirocin nasal ointment. As was done previously, it was administered for 3 days prior and for 5 days every other week during radiation. Are you ready for it? The primary endpoint of acute mucositis occurred in 48% of patients without mupirocin versus just 23% with mupirocin. Patient-reported outcomes mirrored this finding. Interestingly, systemic oral cultures demonstrated an increase in Staph aureus throughout treatment in both arms, though the increase was significantly stunted in the mupirocin arm, suggesting florid Staph aureus overgrowth does play a critical role in radiation mucositis progression. Of note, broader antimicrobial strategies have failed in the past, suggesting it is specifically Staph aureus that needs to be curbed, especially considering we want Streptococcus salivarius to thrive. The only remaining question is which compounding pharmacy is going to strategically combine the cheap SK12 with even cheaper mupirocin to create a single proprietary anti-mucositis supplement. The bottom line is, simple nasal mupirocin ointment halves the rate of severe radiation mucositis. Thanks to Liao, JAMA Oncology, 2025. Up second, BN007. Does dual immune checkpoint inhibition along with radiation improve outcomes for MGMT unmethylated GBM? Maximal safe resection followed by radiation and temozolomide has been the backbone of treatment for GBM for quite some time. Unfortunately, MGMT unmethylated GBMs have less benefit from temozolomide. NRG BN007 was a phase 2 trial designed to determine if replacing temozolomide with a combination of ipilimumab and nivolumab could improve progression-free survival for MGMT unmethylated GBM. Following resection, 159 patients were randomized to receive 60 gray and 30 fractions with either standard temozolomide or ipi-nivo. Ipi was given every 4 weeks for up to 4 cycles, and nivo was given every 2 weeks until progression. Tumor treating fields were allowed in the standard arm, but not in the ipi-nivo arm, due to concerns about cutaneous toxicity. However, only 11% in the standard arm actually used tumor treating fields. Ipi-nivo did not significantly improve median progression-free survival compared to standard temozolomide, approximately 8 months in both arms. Likewise, there was no difference in overall survival. Overall grade 3 plus toxicity was similar between arms. The bottom line is, in BN007, ipi-nivo failed to improve progression-free survival when compared to temozolomide in the definitive treatment of MGMT unmethylated GBM. Thanks to Lastman, JCO, 2025. Up next, NRG CC003. Does hippocampal avoidance prophylactic cranial irradiation reduce neurocognitive toxicity without increasing the risk of failure for small cell lung cancer? The data for hippocampal avoidance PCI reducing neurocognitive toxicity has been mixed. In PRIMER, hippocampal avoidance PCI significantly reduced the decline in delayed free recall, 5 versus 23%, compared to standard PCI. But a Dutch trial found no significant difference in Hopkins Verbal Learning Test, revised, when comparing the two. Here, we have publication of results from NRG CC003, in which almost 400 patients with small cell lung cancer with a negative MRI after initial therapy planned to receive PCI were randomized to 25 gray and 10 fractions using conventional whole brain radiation or the same dose schedule using hippocampal avoidance. The trial sought to determine if hippocampal avoidance PCI resulted in non-inferior intracranial recurrence and less neurocognitive failure as measured by delayed recall on the Hopkins Verbal Learning Test. At the 6-month mark, there was no significant difference in rate of deterioration between hippocampal avoidance and standard PCI. A battery of other neurocognitive tests were also performed. When failure on any of these was counted as neurocognitive failure, hippocampal avoidance PCI did significantly reduce the risk of neurocognitive failure. Intracranial relapse at 12 months after hippocampal avoidance PCI was deemed non-inferior to standard PCI. Of note, fewer than half of the patients took memantine, and memantine use came curiously close to being associated with an increased risk of neurocognitive failure. The bottom line is, hippocampal avoidance likely has a modest effect on neurocognitive toxicity in patients receiving PCI for small cell lung cancer that is detected by some neurocognitive tests better than others. At the same time, it doesn't increase the risk of intracranial relapse. Thanks to Gandhi, JCO, 2025. Up next, CONCO 7. Is a pathologic complete response or a margin negative resection prognostic or therapeutic? One of the biggest goals of treatment of localized pancreatic cancer is to get to surgery. That's because patients who are able to have surgery have better outcomes. CONCO 7 was a randomized trial that sought to determine if adding chemoradiation to neoadjuvant chemotherapy could improve the rate of R0 resection for patients with initially unresectable pancreatic adenocarcinoma. It included almost 500 patients who received induction chemo, mainly FOLFIRINOX, and of these, 68% did not progress and went on to be randomized to continue the same regimen or received 50.4 gray in 28 fractions with gemcitabine. Of those, 162 actually made it to surgery. When looking at the total randomized population, chemoradiation did not significantly increase the rate of R0 resection, 25 versus 18%. However, when looking at those who actually had surgery, chemoradiation did significantly increase the R0 resection rate, 70% versus 50%. In addition, the PathCR rate and nodal response rate were significantly higher after chemoradiation among those who went to surgery. Patients who made it to surgery, and especially those who had R0 resection, had significantly better survival than those who did not. The problem is that the treatment that increased the R0 resection rate was not associated with improved survival. The bottom line is, in CONCO 7, patients with initially unresectable pancreatic cancer who eventually had an R0 resection had better overall survival. If a patient made it through induction FOLFIRINOX, adding chemoradiation increased the rate of R0 resection. However, receiving chemoradiation did not translate to an improved overall survival in the overall cohort. Thanks to FEETCAL, JCO, 2025. Finally, turn up the volume. Higher surgical volume has been associated with better surgical outcomes, especially for complex cancer procedures, While this study didn't directly look at outcomes, it did evaluate differences in requests for plan revision from stereotactic radiation peer review conferences based on volume and experience. Plan revision rates were higher for lower volume physicians with 10 or fewer stereotactic cases in the prior 3 months. Interestingly, mid-career physicians, meaning 3 to 9 years of experience, had lower plan revision rates than their junior and senior counterparts. Thanks to PING, Advances in Radiation Oncology, 2025.
This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.